Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Please welcome to the show this evening, Linda Massaneptima.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Well, good evening, Linda, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me today.
Oh, very interesting guest that we're going to have with us this evening. She is a real experienced, but the experiences that she has with the paranormal are something that maybe some of you will want to sit up and take notice of. So we're going to get into that interview very shortly here. But Linda, before I usually begin the interview, I like people to introduce themselves in the respect of when this paranormal activity or your sensitivities all began for you.
It really started becoming active for me. It was when I was like working at this bar, this sports bar on the Nellis Air Force Base. It was kind of a new place. And I've never had any experiences like that much until I started working there. I kind of believe, but not really, because I've never had that much. So this place is an older building and stuff. And then we would see things like a table full of Marines that came in there after they finished their exercise. And they were sitting there, they saw this blue mist come from our video game room. And as it went through the dining hall, it turned into a half a man with a hat. And they all freaked out in these big Marines. They're all got scared. They're screaming and everything. And they went into the bathroom. That was the one thing that I was touched for the very first time by something. That was startling to me. I've never had that experience. Came behind my back and wherever it was touching me, like a hands or something, it got really freezing cold on my skin. And I actually moved out of the way. It was like it was trying to say, excuse me, I need to go by. So I kind of looked back and there's nobody there. And my boss was sitting there facing me. And I asked her, did somebody just walk behind me? And she said, no. I said, oh, my God. Ooh, you know, and then she told me to come in the office. And she closed the door. And we're like, here, sit down and relax a little bit. I mean, because she had experienced it herself. So she knew about that kind of thing. And there was other things like we had knives flying across the room. It didn't hit anybody, and because it was a kitchen.
Yeah.
And then one day there was like these round pizza pan things where we put on with the pizzas and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was on a rack sitting there sideways, and a couple of them just flew across in front of about five or six people. And we're like, what was that? You know, everybody freaked out with that. And then I had another really strange event that happened to me there too.
Let me just jump in here. Those are actually very compelling. And so I know right now people are wondering, don't name the bar or anything, but what state did you live in when this was happening?
Nevada.
In Nevada. Yeah, well, Nevada in certain parts that I know is very, very active. And you know what's really interesting to me is the the servicemen, I don't know, did you say, were they the military, the army?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
or Marines or something.
Marines, yeah. And did you say they're the ones that ran into the bathroom, or did the misty blue figure go into the bathroom?
Oh, the misty blue figure, because they were sitting at a table watching the TV, and they all of them saw this figure going in there, and they all freaked out. They were like, oh, you know. They get scared, I guess.
That you know, that is something people don't necessarily see every single day.
No.
And also the icy cold hand. Now, you're the first one that I've ever actually have described it that way, which is real interesting, because most people feel like a breeze, or they feel some presence behind them, but the icy cold hand. My question to you, although I don't know if you thought about this at the time, when you felt that hand, kind of like, excuse me, kind of type thing, did it leave a mark on your body, or did you not really think about that at the time?
I don't think it left any mark. I just, like I said, I kind of a little bit startled there. Like, ooh, you know, she told me to come in the office, and it was just cold right there. I'm on the back of the small back, lower back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but there was no one there. So I kind of, you know, got the chills and stuff because my mind started working like that. Thinking this is not right. You know, it's not supposed to happen kind of thing.
How long, do you recall how long that sensation stayed on your back for? Was it very long?
A few moments. And then after a while, it kind of warmed up. Okay. A few minutes anyway.
All right. Interesting. You know, the one thing that I always am always wondering about, and I haven't heard of any cases yet, that doesn't mean that they don't exist. You know, when you're talking about the pizza pans flying across the room, or the knives, why do they always have to pick knives anyway? You know, I mean, for God's sake, can't they pick something else? But my question there is, when you were working there, correct?
Yes, as a cook.
Did anyone ever get hit by any of these objects? Because I never really hear, like, oh, the object just missed me by just like a fraction of whatever. You always hear that, but you don't ever really hear of someone going, yeah, I got hit by the pizza pan tonight, or this knife came whizzing at me and cut me. Did anyone ever get hit by anything while they're working there?
No, it was just like, to me, and now as I look back and I say, it's like an attention getter, because you're standing there and the thing happens, whatever flying, and it gets your attention. You're like, you know, but that's all it was. I think it wasn't meant to hurt anyone.
Yeah.
The knife was just sitting on the counter by itself. It's the only thing that was loose in the area.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, just flew across, and the pizza pans are the same way because it's loose. It's not, you know, attached to anything. And I think that's why.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it like that was attention.
Did you ever investigate that situation enough to figure out who was residing in that building?
Yeah, so not so much me, because I wasn't really into that part yet, like investigating at that time. Mm-hmm. I was just experiencing all these strange things, but there were a couple other people that were really into it already. And one guy, he said he tried to look on the history of this building that we're in. And it's a really old building from the 1940s. Mm-hmm. They just kept updating it to different things, purposes. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that back then he saw some kind of news or something that somebody hung himself inside, either a worker, a construction worker, or somebody who was working there back in the 40s or something, because they have like old rafters and stuff like that inside. And they found him in there. He's not sure why he did it, but that's what he was saying. That he found some news article that there was a suicide in there.
Yeah, and usually that energy does still hang around. Are you still connected with anybody who still works at that bar, and are they still having experiences?
Yeah, so when a 9/11 attack happened, because it's where it was at, we shut down because it was locked off. We couldn't know outside people can get in. You know, it's a military base, so you can't let people in after that happened.
Right.
So we kind of lost our jobs. They closed it right away because it's a bar. It used to be like very open, you know, to everybody. Mm-hmm. But so I got moved to a different place, and they left that abandoned for a while. And then now they demolished the whole thing, and they put like a little MIA veterans building there.
Yeah.
It's not really, and they added a building, a hotel there, like lodging for the guys. So I'm not sure if they're getting haunted or what, but it's kind of sitting on the same place where that bar was.
That's interesting, because you wonder when that one misty figure went through. Although the one that touched you on your back, to me, that would seem more intelligent because that was more purposeful. You know, I don't think that a person would just naturally feel something like that if the whatever it was apparition or whatever was residual. But the misty figure, that one, you know, to be able to create your body to that respect. You do need a lot of some kind of energy to be able to do that. And I only heard of one other situation similar to that, where I was talking with an EMT who was working a part-time job, such as myself, at a very large fair in Minnesota. And there was in the crowd an older woman who was wearing very kind of older, rough kind of looking clothes. And he had noticed that this woman, you know, she kind of didn't fit in the crowd that was kind of walking. And they were watching her, and then they noticed that she didn't have any legs. And but a couple of people saw that, and it just creeped him out too. And when you see something like that, that's actually kind of startling, to actually be able to visually see something like that. So what other experiences have you had? Because you seem to be you're sensitive, but and you've got some investigation work like under your belt in doing this. Do you feel like you attract some of this stuff to you or around you? And if so, why do you think that is?
Yeah, so I do feel like, you know, I attract this. Not back then. I thought it was just other people. And I just, you know, like I'm a third person observing something. And I never really thought it was because maybe it's me or something or whatever. Mm-hmm. Until this lady came in that bar, and when I have no clue who she was, she came right up to me, staring at me. She goes, "Oh my God, you got a large aura. You know, are you having all kinds of strange things happening? Because I can see auras. And yours is large. It is very bright." And that's what, and I see kind of, you know, around here, it seems like, yeah, that's why they're attracted to you, because you're so bright. They can see you from the other side, or, you know, the energy. Mm-hmm. That's why it's attracting them. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, at the time I didn't believe her about being a sensitive, because I wasn't really into that part. Right. I was just, you know, what's going on? I don't know, Ghost Hunters TV show was on at the time. I was really just watching it on TV, you know. Mm-hmm. And then later on, though, after so many things started happening to me, over and over, not just there, but it started happening in my house and everywhere I go, it feels like it's just kind of following me here and there. Then I started, well, maybe I am, you know, so I had to go, I went online at the time and trying to figure out what this is, trying to see how I can develop or, you know, control it or whatever, you know, to stop it so much, because it was really getting intense.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because I know when I first started realizing that the stuff that I was experiencing was paranormal. You know, paranormal can be many different things, but the thing is, I'm talking about hauntings, ghostly activity, apparitions, energy like that. You know, I didn't really know either when I was younger what was happening to me until I started getting older. And then when I started investigating just on my own with my husband, of course, with me, in properties that were known to be haunted, then all of a sudden I started having more and more and more of this stuff occurring. So that would be the next question. Yes, I understand the aura aspect, because I also am a very bright beam. And so wherever I go, here they come, or they, you know, something happens. Yeah. So, but the point that started to bother me a little bit was when I was dragging this stuff home with me. And then things were happening in my own house, which I wasn't thinking that. You think when you leave a place or a situation that it's done and over with and they're going to stay where they're at, but it's not necessarily the case. What kinds of things started happening with you? Like you say, your home started disturbances. When did you first start noticing that?
That's more a recent thing. I mean, maybe several years ago. The bar thing was in the 1990s when I worked there. But then, you know, before 9/11, and then the visits were coming more recent, like several years from now. But one time I used to go to this hairdresser to cut my hair. Yeah. And she told me about this local weatherman who had some bad luck in his life and all this. But he's buried with his dog in the pet cemetery, local pet cemetery. I don't want to say his name because I might get in trouble or whatever, you know. Yeah. So I was curious because I'm into this. I said, well, you'll go look at it, you know, let's go find him. I said, okay, let me go look. So I went, because where I was at getting a haircut was just down the street. So I drove over there and I'm looking and I can't find him, you know. And I thought, well, maybe he's moved on, or maybe they moved him out of the pet cemetery because he's human. And then I couldn't find it. It was like, what, where is it? You know, I know he's here, but I just couldn't find him. So I left. I came home later that afternoon, and I was just playing with my cell phone. They have those filters. Yep. So I took the negative filter. It takes you look like you're in an X-ray or something. Mm-hmm. I was just fooling around, bored. And I took my selfie, and there's a face right here.
Oh, my.
It's just like this, like this eyes only.
Yeah.
But his eyes are the one that's very distinctive on the man.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's how you can tell what it is, and his hair. Mm-hmm. And he was, it was a guy, him, looking over my shoulder at me. But my face was all in the black and white filter, like a negative. Mm-hmm. His face was in color. It was really weird. That's why it really stood out. He had like the flesh tones and the hair was brown. The way he looked, and you can tell it's his eyes because it's, you know, very unique eyes on him. And I went, oh my God, I was zooming in. Like, what is that? I was looking back to see maybe there's some kind of pareidola, something like that, like a matrixing something. Mm-hmm. But I don't understand why his face is in color and mine was the black and white filter. It was like really weird.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a photographer, and so one of the things when people want to say if it's pareidolia or face matrixing or something like that, I always put images through several, sometimes about 100 different filters to see what can show up. I find that fascinating that you would actually have something in color in a black and white kind of reverse negative. And so that's one thing I would encourage people to think about here is that if you, when in doubt, go into a software program and reverse it to a negative and take another look at what you're seeing, because a lot of times this stuff will show up, which is another question I have to ask you about that. And then I want you to continue on. So some people report, and I can report this on my own too, that when I take photographs in places that are supposedly haunted, or even if they're not supposedly haunted and something shows up, sometimes it takes, it could take a day, it could take a week for something to literally show up on your film, whether it's a print film or whether it's a digital negative or whatever. And I've had that, not only myself have had that experience, but there are other people that I've interviewed who have showed me their pictures and said, this was never there when I took this picture. Yeah. I don't know how it showed up. Did you, when you took that picture, of course, right away, we're not looking at it, but then you reversed it to a negative. How many days later did you do that?
Oh, that was an instant, though. Because my face was, the filter was the negative.
Yeah.
And then I was looking what it looks like, and I was weird. And then I saw that because it was in color. His face, I mean, just the eye part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I went, I got up, I was looking around behind me, what can be making that image.
Right.
But then I thought about it, why is it in color? And everything else was a negative.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, but something, it was nothing there that can look like that.
Right.
That was back there. I was like, this is weird. You know? So, I mean, that was one of the first times that something actually possibly followed me home. Because I was trying to look for him, that same person.
Yeah, it's interesting. So when you, okay, so then now you're at home and things are happening. What kinds of things were happening?
Well, same thing related to that pet cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm determined to find his marker or something, you know, because I missed it. So he must still be there because I'm thinking he followed me home. I mean, there's a reason why he showed up in my picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I like a week later, I went back to the same thing, the same cemetery. Mm-hmm. And this time I actually found it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a giant, giant marker. It was like 6 feet tall with his big name and his picture with his dog and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way you can miss that. I don't understand how I missed it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was huge. So that's when I went into the office, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not really that time. It was the next time I went. But so I just hung around and, you know, I was paying my respects. Oh, you know, and then he didn't follow me home that second time. I didn't see anymore. Haven't, you know, experienced him.
Mm-hmm.
But I went after that, maybe just with my friend. So she's curious too. And then we went home from there. And then I sat there in my kitchen, I was watching TV, and I heard a noise behind me, like something is moving. So I look back, I just caught like an apparition of a woman in white. She had like longer, scraggly hair. I guess like somebody just woke up and she her looked like her. I just saw from here, the chest was like kind of like a possibly a dress or something. I couldn't see the bottom because I have like a bar with open in the wall. I just saw that part. And then she was walking out through the door. There's a door, outside door right there. Mm-hmm. And I got up and I went around and tried to look, see if I can see her again, but she was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's prompted me to go back there to the cemetery. And I went to the office and talked to the lady working there. I told her, you know, I had an experience and I told her what it was. It was a woman. She goes, oh, you had an experience. Some other people that tell us, they come visit us and they go home and she follows them home. It's a lady who's buried there and she takes care of all the animals. She's a big animal lover. She's buried with all her animals there. But if she likes you, she follows you home because she is attracted to your energy aura. So she said, don't worry about her. Just tell her, no, it's nice to know you, whatever. Thanks for visiting, but don't come back kind of thing. Like set your boundaries. That's what the lady told me. I said, oh, okay, but don't worry. She doesn't do anything. It's an older woman. She's too bad I don't have a picture of her because I could show you that maybe you can recognize her or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess she visits certain people that visit the cemetery. So I said, oh, okay, not just me. I mean, that was like a thing, they follow me home.
She probably liked, like she said, she liked your aura. You probably felt safe. She probably figured you could handle seeing her. Why? I just asked this of a guest the other day. I don't know if there's any reasoning for it, but it seems like there's a lot of apparitions that want to show themselves wearing white all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Do you have any thoughts about why do you think some of these apparitions are always showing themselves in white? Because I have no idea.
I don't really have idea either. I just like us, we have physical, maybe the living, we have color. Mm-hmm. Maybe where they're from on their side, it's not no color, it's just white.
Oh, that's very possible.
Or, because they lose the physical part. So they probably, maybe they forget as color.
Yeah.
The energy is white, or something. I don't know.
Except for that apparition that showed half body and stuff. Do you remember? I don't know if I asked you this. Do you remember what that person looked like if they had half a body? Was the clothes like current or at that time? Or do you remember how that was described?
Oh, yeah. The man in the blue mist.
Yeah.
He had like an old fashioned hat, they said. He had a hat and looked like overalls or something.
Yeah.
He said they only saw from like maybe the chest up and the rest was kind of smoke.
Yeah.
And they say he looked like overalls and a hat. They couldn't see his face because it was from the side.
Yeah.
Because he moved on and that was it.
I walked through what I call an energy cobweb once and I lit up because I'm very sensitive. And I saw what I walked through, I believe at the time was a maid that was in one of these 900-year-old bed and breakfasts over in Europe. And I actually saw her the minute I kind of walked through it. I went, oh, tingle, tingle, tingle. I mean, it was extreme tingling. And then I saw this woman rush around the corner, but I only saw, half of her face. But I was able to identify and see enough to be able to put her with a picture that that she used to be a maid at this place long time ago, and she's still there. But I said, yeah, that's her, because I recognized her right off the bat, But it's interesting. I mean, some apparitions will show their full face. I had a guest on once months and months ago, and he actually talked with a full-bodied apparition who just looks as real as you and me for a half hour. And usually, apparitions can't hold their energy for long periods of time, but for a half hour. And he just said, he's very adamant about it to this day. He said, nope. Because and how he discovered that he talked to a dead person was that he wanted to get his address. So he went to this office where he was at, and he said, can you give me the address of this guy? I think his name is blah, blah, blah. And they said, what? That's impossible. He died, I think they said 8-9 years ago. And he's like, no, I just got done talking to him outside. He was as real as you and me. And so it that was my newest experience in hearing that apparitions can hold their energy for a long period of time, which is, have you ever, since you've had a number of experiences, have you yet to experience an apparition, whether a full-bodied person that you realized that was not real? I mean, it was dead. Did you, have you experienced that yet?
Yeah, so one time I went to this Paracon in Virginia City. Mm-hmm. I was, I got tickets or whatever. Went, and it's called Mackey Mansion, which is kind of haunted. We were doing a nighttime part of this event, so I had to use the restroom. I went in there. It was dark, no electricity. It's dark in there. I finished what I was doing, and then I got up. I can tell somebody's here. You know that feeling that somebody's staring at you or watching you.
Yeah.
I kind of, but I'm the only one in there. Yeah. I'm like, oh, what's this? I got up, and then I kind of look, and there's a man, older man. I see like just a corner of face, but he wasn't moving fast. Like he's trying to not be seen. He wanted to be seen by me. He was trying to make sure I see him. I mean, to me, because he would just stop there. He's just staring at me, like not really mean, but he just wanted me to make sure I see him. I mean, I know he's there, mm-hmm. and he's slow. And then he kind of look. You know, he's really close to me too. And I went, oh my God, I freaked out, and I was trying to get out of there.
Yeah,
but he still was there. I think he was just moved a little bit out of the way, and then. But I just took off. I mean, then they told me, "Oh, you know, that's the guy who's there." So,
Are you telling me that he hung out in the girls' bathroom?
Well, yeah, because they said he doesn't care for all these visitors because lots of paranormal investigators come in. They're provoking and stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. They said that he likes to do that to the female investigators because we get startled more or something.
It's the fear factor, the energy, the rush of the energy at the last second probably feeds off of it to help him kind of stay more physical. That would creep out. My heart would probably sink if I and I don't know how you saw much of him anyway, because you were in the dark, right? So
yeah, but it was like his face was kind of illuminated, I guess. Right. It was like a white grayish.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how they do that, how they accomplish that, but just to make me see him, that just that little piece of face, this older white guy with white hair, older man. I could pick it up from that little corner of a face. That he was staring at me. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I've got words for people like that want to hang around. I do, you hear the stories where people go into these bathrooms and all of a sudden the light bulbs burn out or they don't, burn, they just shut off and the electricity's still on and then they freak out and all that. I've been around that situation myself. That's kind of creepy though. So what kinds of things have you noticed along the way? And you started doing this, what did you say, about 10 years ago?
With my brother. Yeah, with my brother, we formed the team around 2014 or something, about 9-10 years ago. Actively going places together,
mm-hmm.
To investigate.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of places did you start out with? A lot of people always start out with cemeteries. I don't know why. Sometimes things do hang about in cemeteries by people, but it's not always who you think it is, or it's not always friendly ones either. It could there's a lot of different energies that hang out at cemeteries, so you've got to be careful. Where did you first start when you and your brother formed a team and you started doing this? What was one of the places that intrigued you, and did you have any experiences there?
Yeah, so before we actually formed it, I used to go to the Pioneer Saloon in Good Springs, and that's I met the owner there. That's how it's haunted, and mm-hmm. he invited me to help him with his events.
Yeah,
he said you can go for free and just hang out and help me, and I'll set it up and take the tourists or whatever with the other team members. I said okay, sure, free. I mean, I can get to investigate all the time, mm-hmm. so that's where we started. I took him out there. I said, hey, you want to do this, or So he met the owner, and that's how we started right there. Mm-hmm. And my brother really got into the equipment part, buying the equipment and doing that with me because mm-hmm. he was interested. Mm-hmm. And then one night we did our own. He let us do our own private investigation, just me and my brother. Mm-hmm. We had some stuff going on too. Mm-hmm. It was kind of funny though. Funny mm-hmm. Experiences.
What kinds of things have happened at Pioneer Saloon?
So speaking of that bathroom, it's inside the old saloon, right? The old bathroom.
Yes, yes.
Yes. So one night I was with the owner and he had two guests because I was helping them on the team and stuff. And he told them, come on in, let's do an EVP with a spirit box and we'll see if we can get Carol Lombard, who died behind in that mountain. So we always like trying to attract her to come say hello or something
Right.
because we don't know who's in there really,
Right.
spirits. So I was leaning against the bathroom wall. I'm just there holding my recorder and he's doing the talking, the owner. And I can hear people talking and I got really quiet. I'm just sitting there like I'm zoning out, but I'm not. I'm there. I can hear everything clearly. But then he started noticing how quiet I got. I wasn't, reacting to what they're joking around. So he kind of looked at me and he said, Linda, Linda. I said, I didn't respond. I wanted to, but nothing was coming out. My mouth wasn't moving or anything. I went, oh, and then he started making a joke, a quick joke, like a something like a one-liner at the guest. Everybody went, ha ha, and that's what broke it. I went, and then right as soon as that was over, I got really heavy. My whole body was heavy. I was like, oh my God, I'm not tired, but it was a weird heavy feeling on me. He goes, Linda, get out of here right now. Go outside, get a breath, take a break, because I know this. I've seen it in other people. They're trying to attach to you to get your energy so they can manifest, to talk. I went, oh, so I walked out at the bathroom and it felt like my legs or feet were in mud and it was like a heavy 5 pound weight on both. It was like, oh my gosh, I can't walk. It's like I feel so heavy, So I went and sat down. He said, okay, sit down, just go and relax or something, and we'll continue on. So they went, he took him everybody to the back where there's like a little tunnel in the mines or a shaft opening. So they were all in there and I'm sitting there on the table getting trying to relax and trying to get this feeling up. And they had those little ghost meter with the orange light, really older basic ones. And it was sitting there right in front of me and it was blinking. So, with the energy, there's something, I'm not doing anything. I said, oh, you want to talk to me? I said, I'm sitting right here, who you want to talk to? Because it was pointing towards the group that went in there. And suddenly the thing went, shoot, it moved on its own and it's pointing right at me. I said, oh, you want to talk to me? What do you know? So I, yes and no answers. So I'm just asking, who is this, female, male? I know he was answering yes, no. And then the group came back. They heard me talking, I guess, from back there. They're all quiet. They're like, he goes, Linda, who are you talking to? I was like, I think because I told him what happened about the ghost meter moved on me. It went, it physically moved. It turned like that. I was like, ooh, But that time I didn't get scared. I just sat there,
Did you say that that was at the, because I don't know if we ever went to that. Did you say it was like a mine opening or something where you were at where this happened?
No, it was inside the saloon in the back where they keep all the beer kegs.
Yeah.
So normally people don't go back there, but when you close it, then you're doing this ghost hunt tour thing with the owner. He can still take you back there. He opens it up and he'll tell you the story how he found this and how he had to reinforce it because it's not really stable, the floor. So they
Yeah.
had to put more stable stuff in there so it won't collapse. But he said, we found it. We went down as far as we could. But at the end of this tunnel, it's a mine shaft tunnel. At the end, it's blocked. It's like a whole bunch of stuff. We can't go farther. So he thinks somebody blocked it, a previous owner, so people can't come in and steal their liquor
Right.
somehow.
Right.
People can find it. So, but he says there was all kinds of stuff down there, all kinds of old para artifacts and stuff. They brought them up. But he opens it, you can smell. It's like an old mine shaft smell. But
That's
it just,
interesting.
yeah, you're not
Yeah.
allowed to go in there, but
Yeah, no, I never had I didn't realize that. They never even talked about that when we were on that tour. I had no idea. That's interesting. Was that and I don't know, like I mean there's a room, you know the room I'm talking about, where people sit at these tables and all of the pictures are around that, you know, that have people that have been there, Carol Lombard and whoever, I can't remember who was it. It wasn't who was the what the her husband, I can't
Oh,
remember.
Clark Gable, Clark Gable.
Yes, good Lord. And but did they ever tell you the story when you were there of, you know, when you first walk in through the doors and then there's the bar there, they have all the seats. They always tell us the story about some old miner guy who would go and sit at the end seat in that little bar area. And then once in a while, people would actually see him, and then he would kind of disappear. Did they ever share that story with you at all?
Yeah, so because I became friends with their family who owns it. So one, I think that's evolved from one of his sons seeing an apparition at the end of that bar.
Yes.
He says he's very afraid of all that. He doesn't really deal with ghosts or what, you know, he's very bad. This the son.
Yeah.
So he was closing the bar by himself because all everybody had to leave. Mm-hmm. And that's when it happened. He was by himself middle of the night, all alone. He's trying to tell the guy, oh, we're closed, because he thought it was a real person sitting there. Mm-hmm. He goes, hey, we're closed, you gotta get out. All of a sudden the guy just disappeared on him.
Oh my God. Said,
and he just freaked out. He just, you know, just left everything, locked it and left and went home. So after that, he always hires people, bartenders, to make sure they can close. And he'll leave, I mean, early. Before he closes, when it gets dark. And one time we had the event, the ghost investigation event. Mm-hmm. And it was like 8 o'clock or 9 or something before it actually started. And you see him, I was looking, and you saw him running out of the saloon. He was in front of the windows. He see me like this, and he left. He ran away. I mean, you know, because he's so scared of that kind of stuff. You don't want to.
Did you ever have any experience at all at that one, you know, that hut with that guy and those kids?
Yeah, the little cabin right outside the saloon across the street. Yeah.
Yes.
So a part of the ghost thing where we're doing the event, we would take them outside and go to that cabin. And it was the same thing. The man was holding two child spirits there with him. He didn't want to let go. And we found out, because we're using spirit box, he's answering direct answers to us, like, who are you? And you can hear little kids in the background, like, you know, little kids' voices. So that's how we got, you know, we're thinking maybe that is, you know, man's holding the two kids' spirits. But I never really had myself heavy feelings there. But I used to go inside all the way, because I was wanting to experience with everybody else, you know, the inside thing where you do the monitors and you try to feel something.
Yeah.
But then after I've done it so many times, I just stand at the doorway and let the tourists or the guests experience everything. Because I know, you know, what's in here, right? I've been there doing it so much that, you know, it's not really a new thing for me. I mean, I let them do it.
Yeah.
So one night, a friend of mine went on this tour with us, the ghost tour. And then he just happened to turn around and take pictures on his cell phone, his little camera, not a cell phone, like a little camera. The Spectrum camera he just got. And it was me, but behind me, there's a taller man with bright, shiny eyes, dark figure in the doorway behind me. But there was no one there physically, because, you know, I would know. I was standing, you know, in the doorway, you know, making sure nothing comes in, like bats. We have bats out there and stuff like that, or whatever, you know. I'm the only one in the doorway. Then he, later on, he sent it to me when he's looking at his pictures through Facebook, a messenger or whatever. Linda, what's this? And look at that. You know, that's creepy. It's some guy behind you that not supposed to be there. There's no face or anything. Just two shiny eyes and like a figure, a shadowy figure of a man standing there behind me.
You're standing in the doorway, were you looking out and he was inside that little, I call it a cabin or that little structure. Was it inside or was he behind you as you're standing at the door looking in to it?
Yeah, I was standing and looking in, and he was right behind me, kind of like right there. Because the person that took it, but he was inside. He was just having to turn, taking pictures of everything. And he said he didn't notice anything until he got home and started looking at his pictures. He says, Linda, here, I want to scare you, but here, I want to show you a picture. I was like, what? You know, this was but a few weeks later. I mean, not right away.
Right.
So I'm thinking he didn't see it at first, probably, and then it suddenly just showed up.
Do you remember at all whether or not the kids were screaming like "help me" or do you remember any of how they sounded when you picked up that there was kids' voices on that recorder?
They weren't really screaming, but they were in the background, but it sounded like they were trying to talk to us, but we couldn't hear them. Like he was keeping them away from the recorder. Like it was mumbled, but it sounds like children's voice, two of them.
Right.
In the background, we couldn't really understand really what they were saying, but the man was coming through loud and clear.
Yeah.
Like really fast answers. I mean, you know, his name and all this. And then one night we had, it was in there and it was loud. She was trying to ask questions. This little lady, he used to run the tour, asking questions of him. Then I was thinking, it says, get out. I mean, it was loud. It was really loud. You were like, ooh, you know.
What kinds of things go through your mind as you do some of these investigations and you have experiences?
usually when I go to a new place that I've never been to, like people recommend them. For me, I just going just to prove to myself it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just people, you know, saying this, or maybe there it's not as haunted as, or whatever, as active as they're saying, but let me go and see, find out by myself for myself and like that. That's how I want to go to a new place. But then when I'm going to places I've been to already, like repeated places, it's more like I want to experience something new, maybe. Maybe something else is there. Maybe I can communicate with the same one, maybe, and I can get more information, maybe to find their story. I can identify who they are and why they're there, or not just listen to other people's opinion or stories, like, you know, their theories of who it is, or, you know, like that. Yeah. Maybe I can figure it out myself, but usually I don't. I just have to go by what they give, the spirit box, or what I feel, or, you know, what I'm catching and stuff like that. But that's like for me. For my brother, it's more like he wants to find out how they manifest. That's what his thing. He's never actually seen an apparition or been touched or anything, but he believes it. It's just he wants to know how that happens. How can someone who has passed away with just energy, how can they come and touch you? How can they manifest to like an image of themselves or something, you know, or hit the wall? He don't understand how that happens. That's what he's going all the time. Because he'd like to, you know, see one, but he's never seen one.
Is he looking too hard for something to manifest? Because just about the time that I think he forgets about wondering about it, something will eventually show up. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Maybe he's so interested in, you know, like he wants to see something, because I'm the one getting experiences and stuff, and he wants to experience something too, but he's got all his equipment with him. He bought some of the equipment that you can buy, like that. And he's more into the equipment thing, I think. Maybe that's why he's trying to catch something, or you know, relying so much on equipment. And I was told, don't rely too much on that, because it's you. I mean, if you really want to experience something, it's going to happen to you without all that.
Right.
So, maybe that's why. Maybe he's so into the equipment.
What's the scariest experience you've ever had?
The one that made me really jump into the paranormal fully, it was right before my dad died. Because I lived at home with parents, and we didn't know at the time he has a terminal illness, or else he didn't tell us or explain it to us. But he was in bed asleep, and I always take a shower before I go to work. And to get to the shower, I had to go through his bedroom to get to the shower. It's a small house. So it was dark, and I don't want to turn lights on. He was asleep. So I went in there. And so right in the bathroom door, there was something dark. It was a little bit like this moving. I'm thinking, what is that? It looks like a bear. You know, it's just a shadow right there crouching. I'm like, I got, you know, like the hair on my neck started standing up kind of feeling. So I thought, what is that? And all of a sudden it stood up, and it was like a man. It's a figure of a man with no detail. It was a shadow figure. And it was tall. And I'm like, oh my God. So I'm thinking it's a live person that broke into the house, but it's not making any sound. But, you know, it's just kind of scary because it's a large shadowy man, male. And then I was looking at it. It was kind of like moving like me, like sideways or something. Then all of a sudden it jumped on me, and it was choking my neck. And it pushed me back on, because my dad's bed was there, but right near his foot. I was kind of, oh, like this. And I could feel tingly all through my neck where he was trying to grab me. And that's when I could have detail of his hands, and he had a long sleeve jacket, or it was like a corduroy texture looking. And I could see up his sleeve, and it was like an older man's hand, heavy fingers, older man. And he had a wedding ring on, or some kind of ring. I mean, it was really detailed, but it was only probably like from my shoulders down for him that I could see. And the rest of it was all dark. And he was, you know, making a little bit of sound, but not much. It was mostly like this. And then it was like a few seconds. Felt like a long time, but I don't think it was just a few seconds. Then I realized it's not really physically doing anything. It's just making me tingle, the energy, whatever, electricity tingle. Then I decided I want to push this thing up and see what happens. It got in my mind to stand up, like, you know, but then he backed off of me right away. And then he stood in the doorway like he was going to come at me again. But then it just took off really fast to the side or whatever. And then he never came back. But that was the most scariest thing I've ever had. I was like, what was that? You know, I've never had anything like that happen to me ever, that before then or since. That was the only time. And that's what really pushed me, threw me into the paranormal. I really got into trying to find out what that was and how to make it stop or how not so I don't come back mm-hmm. and stuff and like that. Because I'm not a real religious person. I'm not any type Catholic or Protestant or anything at the time, or you know, even now. So I didn't know what the procedure is to do this. And then I was afraid to tell people because I know they're going to say, oh, you're crazy. You know, the normal, yeah. Oh, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You're you know, seeing things or whatever. And so I held it in for like 3 months, 3 or 4 months. Then I couldn't, I got so scared and whatever internally. So I just let it out to some of my friends. So I want to tell them what happened, see what they think. And then pretty soon everybody said, oh yeah, we had something similar. Not like that, but yeah, we all believe it. Yeah, we support you. I mean, oh, okay. You know, because I really thought they were going to say, you're crazy. You know, the typical thing. Mm-hmm. So that helped out.
Did it have I can't remember. Did it have a hat on? You remember?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. It just had like a head shape. It was just like a shadow. But it did have a suit, like you get buried in a suit. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it wasn't really a regular suit. It was like corduroy looking. It had like a big button on it, like old-fashioned jacket mm-hmm. kind of thing. And it had older.
Did you have marks around your neck with its hands?
You know, I didn't really notice. I didn't really check, but it was all tingly right here. I never really checked it. I mean, at the time, because I wasn't really into the ghosts like that as much. Where you know, you can leave marks and stuff. I just kind of startled, a little bit stunned, mm-hmm. and then I had to go in that bathroom and take a shower because I had to go to work. So mm-hmm. I'm looking and I was scared and stuff, but nothing. He was gone, I guess, because nothing happened after that with him.
No, I was going to say that is actually quite scary because you don't know if you, it followed you home or whether it resided there or whether it came from the next door neighbor's house or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it didn't come back, that's interesting because a lot of times, sometimes these things will come back, right?
Yeah. So I'm kind of glad it's been a long time now. So that was 2009 when that happened.
Wow.
Because that's when he passed away. It was right before he passed away.
Wow.
So I tell people, I think I just kind of walked into the middle of something. Like my dad was there, he's sick, and this man was right there, and I was in the middle because I walked through and something happened. He attacked me instead because maybe I wasn't supposed to be there or he didn't like me or something, the apparition or shadow figure. And then he just got up and left. Like I interrupted something.
you bring up a good point, actually, because I've heard of this stuff happening in hospitals when people are passing away, that there'd be some black figure or something that might show up. And what did you conclude by that? Because that sounds awfully suspicious and creepy to me.
Yeah, so afterwards, after the whole episode, I calmed down a little bit, I told people. Then I thought about, maybe he was out there bothering my dad or doing something because, you know, he's getting weaker. He's not as strong. He used to be health-wise and, you know, stuff like that. He, towards the end of his life, he started hearing voices himself, like people talking to him mm-hmm. and stuff. He'd be going, he wouldn't want to stay in the house. He wanted to go outside all the time, in the porch or sitting. He's like, I feel better out here. You know, he didn't want to stay inside. I said, oh, okay. Sit in his little chair and fall asleep outside, you know, in the driveway. Or whatever. So I think he feels something too, but my dad doesn't really believe in that. So he didn't really think it was like that. I mean, mm-hmm. he just felt better when he was outside, away from the house. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking maybe afterwards, you know, maybe that's what that was. That's why maybe I just interrupted something. Mm-hmm. He was just telling me, get out, you know, whatever, you know, and then he took off.
Do you have things occur to you, not daily, but once in a while still?
Kind of. It slowed down a lot since I have stopped, you know, going so much, investigating like that. It has stopped, except that work. It's going back to just that work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had some freaky things happen, mainly with co-workers that passed away. Like, they passed away right away, then something happens a few months after they pass. Like, they're still there. They're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that recent, not recent, but the latest one was one lady who used to work there. She passed away at her house. She was supposed to be at work, and we know she never calls in. She always calls in sick if she's not coming or whatever. She just never called, and she never showed up. Mm-hmm. So somebody at work called her son, because they're both local, And then he went over there and found her. She had passed away in her sleep in a bed. So that was one the weekend. So the following, I think it's following week. So she used to drive our beverage cart, you know, like chips and stuff on the golf course where I work.
Yeah.
So her little corner of the walk-in, she would tell people, don't touch it. That's mine. Because she has the inventory. She don't want it to be messed up, her count.
Yeah.
Because missing stuff, you know, replace it. If you take it, replace it. Because I don't want to, my count is off, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I know not to touch it because she gets really, you know, anxious. But then we ran out of certain kind of chips, but she had it in her little corner. So I went into the walk-in. I verbally said out loud, you know, sorry, Miss so-and-so. I need to take this because somebody wants it. And, you know, you won't be using it anymore. And then I basically heard her voice. Say, hey, I mean, it was like mumbling. So I'm thinking, I felt like she gave me her okay to go ahead and take her stuff now because she don't need it. But I actually heard, hey, Linda, you know, blah, 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 and the mumbling rest of it. It kind of went away. I said, whoa, you know, and you know, I was in there all by myself. It's a walk-in refrigerator. I was like, so I took it. Okay, thanks. And then I left and stuff. And then that was it. I mean, something like that, you know, at work lately. In my house, it's just like a lot of banging noises mm-hmm. that I don't understand. Like usually assigned closets. So I had a psychic friend told me, that's your dad. He's trying to tell you something. So I said, oh, okay. Because, you know, this is his house and he remodeled everything. He fixed everything. He did it himself. He's so proud of the house. So I think he's just sort of hanging around. And I did notice that when I hear noises like that, mm-hmm. there's something up with the house. Like something's going to break. There's something I need to check into. But mm-hmm. I don't get it right away until it actually happens. Oh, I, you know, mm-hmm. I should have checked it before because I heard that little banging on the wall or something. So he's trying to tell me without talking, mm-hmm. without the voice. Mm-hmm. And then I used to get visits from my mom, mm-hmm. but it, usually in my dreams or something when she would come. Mm-hmm. And then that's more of an emotional type, something's coming, an emotional heartbreak or something, something's happening, get ready, you know, yeah, like a support kind of thing. Usually everything's be okay. But sometimes it won't. So it's, you know, it's hers is more of an emotional, I think, mm-hmm. if she comes back to visit me. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. and like that. So, but that's like, I haven't heard from either one. Not much banging or like that. So not, this is calm.
Not yet. That's very fascinating. So are you in the house where he passed away?
Yeah. So this is his house, but he died at the hospital. But he really, but while he was the whole time, he really wanted to come home, but then he couldn't get out of the hospital because it was, you know, not good. Mm-hmm. So he died in the hospital. Mm-hmm. My mom died in the house. My mom passed away in the house.
Oh, really?
She saw what happened to him. He had tubes and everything, mm-hmm. you know, when at the end of life, she didn't want that. And he was in so much pain and he was, you know, drugged out. So he couldn't talk. So she didn't want that. No, she goes, let me just go at home. I don't want tubes. And she said, promise you, I don't want no tubes. I don't want to be in a hospital. Mm-hmm. So we had the hospice in house. Mm-hmm. And she passed away here mm-hmm. in the house. Mm-hmm. Then I had some experiences with her spirit right afterwards. Me and the cats. Four cats. You know, animals are kind of sensitive. And mm-hmm. they were experiencing things with me, with her, I think, one night. The night she died. Mm-hmm. So I had a habit of sleeping on the couch because I was watching her in the hospice to, you know, take care of overnight. Mm-hmm. So I just, after they took her body and like around 2-3 o'clock or 1-2 o'clock morning, I was just laying on the couch, but like a habit. Let me lay here. So I'm used to it. And then I could feel something touching my arm. Mm-hmm. So for a second, I thought it was a cat because we all these cats, maybe they're rubbing against me or something.
Right.
But I kind of woke up and I looked, all four cats are around me in like a semicircle. They're just sitting there staring at something, but not at me, but it was like up here.
Yeah.
Over my head.
Yeah.
It went, oh, you know, so I kind of, you know, what's going on? Then pretty soon I felt like arms right here, like rubbing my arms and kind of hugging me. And then the cats were staring at it and then they followed whatever it was and then it backed off. And then my reaction was I got up, I said, mom, you know, mom, but obviously nobody there, but the cats were really staring just kind of frozen at whatever was behind me, not me. And then I guess it left and then the cats kind of looked at me, you know, like what's going on. Then they all kind of loosened up and they're like, oh, you know, one took off and the other one's just sort of hanging out, not really paying attention anymore, but they were staring at this, whatever it was and stuff. but they weren't, you know, afraid or anything. That was
Animals are so sensitive, and they can see this stuff because they have the ability to see what we cannot see or hear and smell the whole 10 yards. That's fascinating. But don't you find it even interesting that every time an animal looks like over your head or whatever, they're always, were they looking in a corner, a corner by chance, or are they looking kind of towards the ceiling?
Well, no, it was sort of behind me on the wall, but it was right above me because I was laying on a couch. So it was like chest height.
Yeah.
And they were just kind of, but not at me. That's why I was like, what they're looking at? They're right over my head, right behind me looking at something.
Interesting.
Those cats have had other experiences as well. They see things in my house. One time I was coming out and it was through the house, living room, and one cat was just laying there, just relaxing. And I went, oh, hi, you know, her name was Chacha. And I said, hey, Chacha. And then I walked through something. It went through my leg, like electrical.
Yes.
Like a little, like that. Yes. And then I heard like, wow, like a motorboat, deep meowing. I'm like, wow, like that. And I went, oh, and then the cat, Chacha, suddenly she was looking at me. Then she looked down because she heard it too. And then she was staring at it. So I stopped. And what's this? Because she got up and went towards it. She was like trying to touch it.
Yeah.
Right in there in the wall. Like they do the head, the cats do.
Yeah.
And then I think it went into the wall because she started running towards it. And she's smelling the wall where it went into.
Interesting. And
she just sat there waiting for it. Like, you know, where to, you know, wait for it to come out.
There you go. Yeah.
But then it was gone. So she walked off. But I can't see anything, you know. But she could see something.
Interesting. Right there. But you felt it.
I walked right through it. It was like my lower leg.
Yep.
And then it made a noise when I walked through. I was like, "Whoa, what was that?" You know.
That's the interesting part, because I mean, I feel it again, that electrical tingly.
Yeah.
Feel it sensation, but just the idea that it actually made a noise when you walked through it, because I haven't had that yet. I've had things go like run around my leg, kind of like a whirlwind. And that's really weird feeling, by the way. It's just like, what is going on around my leg? But not, I haven't had that. When you said, it didn't sound like a growl, though, of something demonic.
No.
Okay.
No. It was more like a meowing, like a male cat's, like a motorboat kind of, like, wow. You know, like because I went through it, I think, you know, had a reaction or something. That's why it was like, what was that, you know? And then the other one wasn't really reacting like it was a bad thing. She went after it. She was trying to touch it like another cat.
Yeah.
Like the same size. And then it went into the wall, I think. And then she tried to follow it. But you can't go into the wall, her.
Yeah.
The living one. She just kind of sat there.
Interesting. Did you have cats before? Was it a cat that you had that maybe have passed away in the house, or maybe your parents had an animal? That's the only thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah, she used to like cats because she felt sorry for all the strays and stuff, and that used to hang around our streets.
Mm-hmm.
And then pretty soon she would be feeding them. You know, that's how we got all our cats. They were all babies from a stray from this one cat.
Mm-hmm.
But so maybe there were some other cats that died and started hanging around, because it's familiar and stuff like that.
Have you ever had the sensation yet where you're in bed and they're running across your legs?
Not animals. I've had someone sit on my bed. I was a human. I think it was kind of heavy. It sat down.
Yeah.
And I think I really think it's my dad, because I was waiting to go to work. I was watching TV. It wasn't time yet. So all of a sudden, the corner of my bed went down.
Yeah.
And my whole body kind of rolled towards it. Like the weight.
Yeah.
And then it got up, and then no more. Then I realized that was my parents' wedding anniversary. It was the same day. Because they were really, really, really set to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary together. But he died before that.
Mm.
And I didn't realize the date until I got to work. And I looked at it. Oh, today's the wedding. And that's why I got one-on-one, you know, together. So that must have been my dad trying to remind me to take my mom out, or, you know, remind her maybe.
Because
she was still alive at the time. He passed first. And I said, oh, no wonder. I think it's my dad, because he was kind of heavier man.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to make me remind me of the date or something.
Mm-hmm. Linda, tell people, if they want to reach out, if they maybe have a story they want to share with you, how can they find you?
Yeah, I'm mainly on Facebook. I used to have a website, but it's down for now. So I can't get anything for there. So you can just look me up on Facebook, send me or a message, or even post something, a comment on my page. I probably see it. I mean, otherwise, if you do Messenger, sometimes I don't see it because you're in my friends or something. That's the main way to get a hold of me now. Or if you have any questions.
And you also have a few books still remaining on Amazon.
Yeah, I have actually three, but I think I sent two of the book covers. I pushed the two because they're actually kind of like books where you read it. And they're still available on Amazon. One is about my 1 year I did a lot of traveling. On the road, traveling all the haunted places that I visited. That's one book. And then the other book is when I first started towards the beginning of all this, of all my experiences. And I think I have that Shadow Man figure stories in that one, the blue cover one.
Okay. We'll have you back again at a later date. So on behalf of the show, Linda, thank you so much for being with us tonight.